All right.
Yay.
We're good. Thanks a lot, Taylor and the White Whale family. I'm happy to be wearing the White Whale shirt today. And I've got my poet hat and I've got a drink for Hemming. I think I'm covering everything. Thanks so much as well to Chris and Joan. And I think that I have a good segue from what Monica finished with. I find that I've been reflecting a lot. Been in the house so much, and my parents were supposed to come and visit in a couple of days, but they had to cancel because they're concerned about about COVID. So I thought I would write a little, talk about my hometown a little bit, which is Rochester, New York, which I think is actually pronounced Rochester, but I don't really have the accent anymore. I try to do the accent at times, but I haven't lived there in a while. But so in Rochester, the biggest star when I was a little kid was Chuck Mangione. Well, he was the biggest star everywhere for a while. And I started to go back and find all his video, like these old videos and songs. And I sort of wrote about my childhood through him, through kind of writing to him in ways. So the first few poems I'm going to read are about him, kind of, and about a bunch of other things too, of course. The titles don't really make sense because it's sort of still a work in progress, but this one is called Feels So Good Part One, because his big hit song was Feels So Good. The older people who are here know about this. The younger people, Google, look him up. Feels So Good Part One. This song did not teach me how to love, but how to take stock of it. What a man looks like when he no longer cares what he looks like, when he hugs a horn, a life preserver. This song is 9 minutes, 43 seconds of men daring boys to embrace the necessary opposite of dead end 70s macho. On Love's album cover, the letters of our feelings can't stand up straight. They rest on a shoulder dyed red as a Valentine. Love is the soft hands that caress pork pie hats, reshape them into signatures. I took stock of love in F major, a subconscious guitar pedal marking time. Closing in on 8 years old, I dipped my boots into snow, no pain in the exploding whiteness of a heart-warmed winter. Chuck Mangione, part two. There was that time when Chuck Mangione taught us how to play the trumpet and flugelhorn in 4 minutes. He wore a shirt made of stars, a hat of love's warm underbelly. He pointed at parts of instruments, bell, mouthpiece, valve, mute. But we looked away and listened to him speak in a voice we grew up hearing, that of a longtime Rochesterian, perhaps one of our grandparents' friends who would invite us in for some sort of salad, red dusted deviled eggs, and we would always leave happier because we had learned something new, like Pinochle, or what their adult children were doing, or why some jokes work better than others, or that they once knew a man who could sit in an empty auditorium talking about blowing air into brass, how a small story could lift them over days when they just didn't know. Chuck Mangione, part six. A stranger said something mildly bad about Rochester the other day. I don't remember what it was, perhaps just the usual surprise our hometown is, quote, not that terrible, quote, close quote, and I didn't speak up. We're reminded that staying silent amid injustice enables injustice. If you'd been there, Chuck Mangione, you would have found a way to write that person, to serve up the beauties of our city, the beauties of you, all the joys, all the messes, a garbage plate come to life. Most people cannot wrap a lifetime into one note played on a horn, a note that might even be flat, because love is not an easygoing white Christmas. Love is a snowbank stained by exhaust. It's introducing everyone to your family, even to the uncle who needs to update himself, because when you pretend not to love a place that lets you lie in its tall grass for years, a place that still stays gray the way you like it, you become that best friend on the weekend who rode all the rides with you at Seabreeze, but at school on Monday tells the popular kids you're ugly or fat or, God forbid, different. Think of the real friend who lets you cry later, the friend who, like you, cherishes the sun and the 300 days without it. The rest of the poems I read, I'm going to read are from my book. This is not a mixtape for the end of the world. This book, all the poems in it are sort of commentary on 80s pop music videos, and they kind of address all the feelings I had growing up in the 80s, kind of. So the first poems I read were kind of before I really understood much about life, and you know, I could still listen to Chuck Mangione all over the place. And then this is kind of, you're starting to make sense of things. You see sort of the artifice, the fear of nuclear war, fear of AIDS. There were all kinds of issues that we had to face. So, you know, nostalgia, I don't know what you really call it looking back at all of this, but so the titles of these poems are all sort of snippets of lyrics from songs. And then the first one was actually from a Rick Springfield song, Affair of the Heart. So I watched the music video and sort of put some things together based on that. And the title is Made to Be Played by My Hands. Everyone besides you learns to look in the mirror for reflections of what they've never been. You see only the horror of a pretty face that won't change. You wake from a nightmare, take the four measure pause to believe what you lived wasn't real. You peek through the blinds to pinch yourself, but glimpse a tiger, a stereotype. To give back to the fans, you let women pose for pictures with your childhood. You smile as they run their fingers through what's left of REM sleep. You let go of the accent as if it were your first love. You can't talk in dreams because a guitar solo screams through your mouth, your wax figure O. You know mirrors hide what it means to be alone because people laugh at you on the other side, people who reflect. You see the most of yourself in what you lose. This poem is called We're In Our Never Splendor, which is a line from the Culture Club song, I'll Tumble For You. This video is sort of a horrifying music video to me, and it just kind of tied into a lot of my memories of maybe watching the news in the 80s or something, I don't know what, but they invite you to a variety show. You're overcome with admiration as you watch everyone warm up. Fire eaters, unlit run-throughs, jugglers, tosses of turned off chainsaws. Stay backstage, they say. As a white swan pas de deux ends, they say, now it's your turn, push you onto the stage. You start to walk off and they say, don't make us show you what happens to the losers. You're about to ask what you're supposed to do when the piano player starts to play boogie woogie and nods at your feet. You don't know how you were outfitted with tap shoes, don't know how the bandy twists and barrel rolls come so easily. The audience nearly drowns out your sound, but restrains itself enough to hear the rhythms you had held inside for your whole life. As your feet continue to move, you know you must be the winner. You try not to think about what will happen to the sword swallowers and unicyclists, but you love to win. This is called Of All the Suburban Dreams, from the Pet Shop Boys song, Suburbia. You start each sentence with before, a nod to the nostalgia of people who act like they didn't win. You picture a city without crime, a city with more people who speak your language. In books, the hardest choice used to be what hat to wear, which vegetable paired best with which meat from a once living being. You love the highway bypass high above the city, the route that avoids check cashers, tax preparers, furniture rentals. There's so much to skip between work and home. 20 minutes from the city, your neighborhood comforts you with dogs that roam the streets, dogs that feast on unfinished business. You retire to the safety of home, the living room surrounded by boxes you won't open. The downtown you boarded up, the communities you filed under after, they know everyone by name, know whose backs to watch. This is the last poem. This is actually the last poem in the book. It's slightly hopeful, which I thought was necessary. It's from the Crowded House song, Don't Dream It's Over. So the title is We Know They Won't Win. Okay. In the intro, he shrugged at friends who called him a savior, knew they had confused the testaments. his band should have been done in by plagues, note cards, frying pans, chicken on a stick that rained for days. He calmly walked through the house of verses, exercising with acoustic guitar and floating head. Tropospheric dinner plates would shatter, first on the roof, later against the brazen openings of windows. He suggested they do chores until the storm passed, wield irons to smooth out shirts and ghosts. When he got to the last room, the final measures of song, he whispered in the drummer's ear, "Hold all my calls." Finally, he could set down the guitar, open the door to a projectile-free outro, stride into a meadow that reached to the end of the decade. Thanks.